address the first part of the canvas. This is Greg Sandow.
Hey, thank you. Wow, I've got to handle my iPad with my notes and this thing that changes the slides, does it?
We have 14 minutes per presenter.
So I knew about David long before he contacted me. I read his first book, The Savvy Musician, and I thought it was fabulous. So when he contacted me, I was incredibly flattered, had one of the peak experiences of my professional life at the workshop. I want to say that the University of South Carolina School of Music is everything Taylor says, and anything with David's Savvy Musician brand, you should just snap up, because it's going to be an experience you won't forget, even reading his books. So, I'm very happy to be here. I'm looking forward to working closely with at least some of you later, and I'm going to talk about art. And I don't like the idea that art stands apart. It's rarefied, it's off on a mountaintop, it's unassailable. It's actually a major part of the world. It diffuses into the world and can be talked about in everyday terms, and it can infuse everything you do so that your performances become... just what David told me not to do. Stand in the way of the screen. So...
Putting the glasses.
Whoa! What people... See, I learned so much being in any savvy musician thing. So, a total experience built from your art is what I think your performances should be. So, what is art? I think, simply put, it's what's deepest in your heart. It's what you love most about the music you've bonded with, whether you're a musician or a manager or a promoter of music, whatever you do. Now, the canvas has two parts for art, the experience of art as it diffuses into the concert, and then the functions, which are, as David said, out in the world, things like social causes or parties or free beer, which a theater company somewhere in the U.S. had amazing results in. And I'm really not going to talk much about that part because I think, honestly, it's great, it works, but it's too easy, and I want to talk about transforming the concert experience with your art, which you have to do in a different way. So, next slide, that's right. That's your audience. No, it's not. Come on. Well, there's a missing slide. Whatever. That's fine. Principles about art and your audience. Never pander. Don't do things you don't believe in just because you think they will reach an audience. Do what you most believe in, even if you think your audience will be small, even if you have no idea who your audience might be, because if you're not true to yourself, what's the point? You can sustain yourself if you find a way to do it. Doesn't matter how many people you're reaching. You can always enlarge your audience. If you sold 20 CDs, let's say, you're telling me you couldn't sell 30? You couldn't sell 40? And even an established group, I'm going to pick on Maverick Concerts because you were mentioned earlier. Why isn't your audience twice as large as it actually is? Are you sure you couldn't do that?
We'd have to have a bigger hall.
Well, great. So fabulous. Don't look at that as an obstacle. So, but above all, you never know what the effect of your art is going to be. And here I have two of my favorite quotes about art and the audience, though they weren't really meant to be about art. The first comes from Diana Vreeland, who was the legendary, iconic editor of Vogue magazine, who then became the first curator of the Costume Institute at the Metropolitan Museum of Art here in New York. When she was designing her first show as curator, the other curators at the museum said, "Oh, that's no good. People don't want to see that." And Diana Vreeland said, "You're not supposed to give people what they want. You're supposed to give them what they don't know they want yet." So, second quote is from Steve Jobs. We all know who he was. And he said, "People don't know what they want until you show it to them." And what was the result of that thinking? The iPhone? The iPad? So, to create the total experience, some quick case studies, and by the way, you get results not from doing things once, but from becoming known for doing them, so what you do really resonates. So, case studies. present music and new, oh, that's the audience slide that I thought came earlier, who cares? Present music and new music group in Milwaukee, kind of under the national radar, not too many people know that they get hundreds and hundreds of people to every one of their concerts and have been doing it for decades. And one of the ways they do that is their concerts segue into parties, which is not really about their art, because they're very serious about the music they play, and it's serious music, but it does resonate with the way they give themes to their concerts and with the subject lines I've noticed in the email I get from them promoting what they do. Subject lines like edgy, erotic, wildly audacious, playing on all the emotions, present music and Mozart. And then This Is You, Milwaukee, which was promoting a composition program where they were going to teach people in the city to compose. Okay, next slide. The Gamer Symphony at the University of Maryland at College Park, whom I met when I was an artist in residence at the school working with students on how to reach an audience their own age. Now, this was the most successful musical group on the campus, though all the official music people disdained it, because it was amateur and it was video game music, but they performed in an 1,100-seat hall. It was full to bursting for any one of their concerts, had a waiting list of 100 people who wanted to play in their orchestra. And the reason they were popular is people really love video game music, including many people who never play video games, which was new to me. And since the core of their artistic project, the love for the music, was hammered home, they wanted to hammer it home more. So they created a staff position of a kind I have never seen in an arts organization, but maybe you all should have one, a social director, whose job was to make sure rehearsals and performances were as fun and inspiring as people thought the music was. Okay, another slide. The School of Music and Conservatory at Northwest University in Potchefstroom, South Africa. And I know this school because its director took a branding workshop with me once, and his branding need was to show people that the concert series they did here was not all classical music, that it was varied, unpredictable, and fun. So one of the ways we came up to get that message across, came up with, was to have the ushers dress in party clothes, dress for a party, be festive, and have a lot of fun with talking to the people who come. I don't know if they ever did that, but if they had, I think it would have changed the atmosphere of the series. So now, some longer examples. Ensemble Offspring, a new music group in Australia, a consulting client of mine. You can see from the photo what spirit they have. What I worked with on them was getting their writing in the same spirit as the photo. So press releases, the website, emails, and when it came time to promote their 20th anniversary series without any help from me, thank God, they came up with this great stuff where musicians in the group reminisced about concerts they'd played in terms that were irresistible. Like, I remember my mom and several audience members were seriously freaked out by how full-on and scary I was. Just imagine what kind of concert that would have been. Or for a concert involving both musicians and dancers, nothing was off limits. Musicians and dancers got their bodies well and truly tangled, fusing movement and music as one. So the art in their performances kind of diffuses out into the email. I think those emails are pretty much irresistible. So another example, the Brentano String Quartet. They need to work on their photo. Vaguely nice people locked behind their instruments without a trace of their art visible in any way, their artistic feeling. But they had a really interesting project. I imagine they wanted to introduce Webern to a larger mainstream audience. So they created a concert where they combined Webern with Mozart. They played all of Webern's music for string quartet before, after, between the movements of a Mozart string quartet. And they had a poet reading poems he had written about Webern. And, you know, that's very different from just presenting Webern and saying, okay, here it is, watch out. You show a commitment to it, you show love for it, you comment on it with the poetry, and by pairing it with Mozart, you set up a contrast, and maybe people say, wow, how different. Or maybe they say, hey, you know what? not so different after all. Now, I don't know what the effect was on the mainstream audience, but on me, there was a really unexpected event. It was one of the Mozart Haydn quartets, not one I knew well, and I sat there during the Webern saying, oh my God, what's Mozart going to do next? I can't wait. I think that was a very effective kind of concert. And now something very different from that, a new Philip Glass opera, Appomattox, that was recently premiered by the Washington National Opera. I live in Washington. I was there. It was, by the way, a revision of a piece by the same name that premiered in San Francisco, but such a thorough revision that it really is a new piece. Now, it has a very powerful subject. The hopes of African Americans after the Civil War put an end to slavery, how those hopes were dashed by racism in the U.S., and how the Civil Rights Movement and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 rekindled those hopes. I think the piece is a masterpiece, as did most of the people performing it, but I don't think it was promoted in a way that conveyed its artistic stature. So how could you do that? One thing they did that really worked, they invited church choirs to come to rehearsals because there was a lot of choral music in it. And we know that worked because my wife and I know somebody who got exposed to the piece that way and was so excited about it, even though she never goes to the opera. But two things they could have done. They could have talked about how many African Americans there were on stage. Many more black faces than white in that performance. That's just about unique in opera outside of Porgy and Bess. And in Washington, D.C., for God's sake, city with a long African American history in which half the population is black, you know, that should have been a no-brainer. And then they could have talked about the challenges that Philip had in writing the piece, because he had to bring historical figures alive in his music. Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, Robert E. Lee, Martin Luther King, President Lyndon Johnson, George Wallace, the racist governor of Alabama, J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, who we now know to have been kind of crazy. All of these people he had to put on stage. I think he did it brilliantly. The opera company couldn't say that persuasively, but they could have said, here is what Philip set out to do, which would have given people a reason to be interested in the piece, a reason to go to see it, and something to look for when they were there. So now my final example. Something very, very hard to promote, I think, a Beethoven string quartet. And why is it hard? Because everybody does Beethoven. So why is your Beethoven different? And how do you get people to see the ways in which it is different? But you're probably wondering why for a Beethoven string quartet, I have a baby up there. And the reason is, one of my students in a course I teach at Juilliard on the future of classical music was talking about playing Beethoven's Opus 74, and she said that the members of the quartet were feuding and the slow movement brought them together. So then we talked about how you could market a performance based on that, and she came up with the idea of nurturing and people cradling a baby. So, how can you work that through the whole concert? You could ask what other music you play, other nurturing pieces, or things that contrast, are violent and are not nurturing. What title do you give the concert? Can it be something that evokes the idea of nurturing? What imagery can you use? We had a baby, you could have anything you wanted, but something that would support the idea of the concert. What will you do with the performing space? Will you have plants, flowers, soft lighting? How do you dress? How do the members of the quartet relate to each other visibly on stage? And how do you care for your audience? Do you talk to them on stage? How about off stage, before and after the performance? Maybe solicit questions and comments during your performance. Maybe you serve food and drink. Maybe you do an audience participation piece, like the wonderful pieces Pauline Oliveros has written, where people sing and hum. Anybody can do them. They're gorgeous. They're involving. They always work. And so that is it. A total experience built from your art. I told you many ways to do it. You'll do it your own way, because that's what art's about. Thanks.